Hello, this is Kendra Brodeen, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I am so pleased to bring you Sandra Radna. Sandra is a partner in the firm of Radna and Androsiglio, LLP, and she has been there since 1995. She represents clients in corporate matters, matrimonial matters, family court matters, general litigation, medical malpractice, personal injury, and real estate matters. Ms. Radna obtained her undergraduate degree from Hofstra University in biology, attended nursing school at Adelphi University, and obtained her Juris Doctorate degree from Ohio Northern University Pettit College of Law. Ms. Radna served as the secretary of the Medical Malpractice Committee from 1998 to 2000, has been on the faculty for continuing legal education in the area of medical malpractice, and was featured in Newsday and The Cooperator for her comments in the area of real estate. She was the recent subject of an article in the Long Island Business News in regard to medical malpractice cases that she successfully tried on behalf of her client and against Brookdale Hospital in Kings County, New York. She was also featured in Newsday on September 19, 2009 in their Ask the Expert column, and she's been featured in other publications, including the Long Island Business News, as recently as March of this year. In family court matters, Ms. Radna has successfully won custody for her clients, both fathers and mothers, through compassion for her clients and tenacity in the courthouse. In corporate matters, Sandra and her partner, Robert Androsiglio, have assisted their clients in forming corporations, professional corporations, limited liability corporations, and limited liability partnerships. In addition, Ms. Radna and Mr. Androsiglio have prepared shareholder agreements for their clients and advised them and represented them with regard to any litigation which arose in regards to corporations and or their businesses. So with all of that, Sandra, I'm so glad to welcome you to the call today.
Thank you very much, Kendra. It's my pleasure to be here, and I appreciate that you asked me.
Oh, definitely my pleasure, and I'm looking forward to the conversation. And with all that, you're welcome. With that, let's jump right into the questions and maybe think backwards a little bit before we start thinking forwards and more futuristically. As you look back on your life and you look back on your career, I'm wondering if you would say that you've always felt like balancing work and life or balancing the personal and the professional is something that you were good at, or if there was a certain time or maybe a couple times in your life where you made a more conscious decision to do something different in order to increase the feeling of balance that you were experiencing?
I think I've always been an organized person. Early in my career and every job I had, even prior to being a lawyer, I was always a list maker. I always made lists of things that I needed to do. I always had self-imposed deadlines for myself to get things done by. So by the time I became a lawyer, I was organized as far as making sure that I had things done and making sure I planned things before they needed to be done. But I do think there was a pivotal point in time where I had to become more organized or had to work differently, and that was after I got married and had my first child. Because once you have children, you can't really plan the same way if you want to be involved, which is what I did. I had made a decision before I ever got married and before I had children that once I did have children, I would work my schedule around my children and not my children around my schedule. Mm-hmm. And it was very important for me to be involved in my children's lives. I didn't want them to grow up and feel that they didn't know mommy. So once I had my son, my first son, what I started doing is I had to become more organized. I had to plan things differently. And the way that I did that was I knew that if I had something coming up that may take me longer to do, to plan for, because I had to do things with my son, who was an infant, even though I had the help of a babysitter and my husband, I would plan those things ahead of time to make sure that I would have everything in place. So, for example, if I had to go to court, and I knew I was going to have to go to court, not only did I have my babysitter in place, I would find time to make sure I'd be prepared for that. And that preparing for court might have taken place at night after the baby went to sleep, or it might have taken place on a weekend when I wasn't actually in the office. The other things that I did was I tried to make sure that my office time was scheduled once my son got older during school time as much as possible, or I always made sure that I had something organized for my children, so they don't feel like they're missing me too much. And that's evolved as they've gotten older. Now I have two boys, and they're 9 and 10 years old. So I would say that that was a pivotal time where I had to start working differently and become more organized. So I still made my list, but I just had to do a little bit more effective planning.
Well, and certainly when you're planning for, well, now that your boys are older, they have their own activities that you're planning around, or like you said, even when they're infants, it adds a whole new layer of planning and coordination, sitters and husbands and other kinds of support to make sure that you're able to do the work that you need to do.
That's right. And the way it's evolved, what I had mentioned before, is now we don't so much use babysitters, but if I know that I have to be in court and I'm not going to be able to be home for them when they get home from school, it might be arranging a play date for them after school. My husband and I try to coordinate it, so usually one of us is home by the time they get home from school, which means that I'm usually will start my work day as soon as they leave the school. They get on the bus at 7 o'clock in the morning, and that's when my work day starts. Mm-hmm. If I'm not in court and I'm able to get home from them, I try to get home by 3 o'clock when they're home from school, and then I'll usually do homework with them, whatever, and then after they go to bed, I'm usually working again. And even though it seems like it's a little bit more hectic for me, it's the best of both worlds because I've never stopped working. I think that right after I gave birth to my first son, I was on the phone with my partner talking about a case. But I've had the flexibility, because it's my own business, to work the way I wanted to work and still have my children feel that they have time with me.
Like you said, sometimes the key is that coordination between, you know, ideally being home at 3 o'clock, like you said, but that there are those days that you can't do that, and then with some planning, you're able to figure out exactly where the boys can go or who can be home to meet them. It's that additional layer of planning, but it's what we need to do sometimes to find the balance.
Right, so the children don't feel it.
That's right.
So it could be an after-school activity that's going to keep them at school till 4 o'clock, which they're enjoying, so they don't feel it that I'm not there. Or it might be a play date after school, you know, again, that they're having fun, so they don't feel it. But at the same time, I'm getting done what I need to get done also.
I think sometimes they're even more excited. I have two little girls, and they sometimes when they're so excited to go to a neighbor's house for a play date or go somewhere that they're actually happy when I'm not there because they get to do these extra fun things rather than just heading home with mom for the afternoon.
That's right, and it's guilt-free work for us.
That is, exactly. We know that they're happy as clams somewhere else. So
that's
it
right.
All works out. But like you said, it does take, you can't pull it off with 15 minutes of planning. You have to think at least a day or two or maybe more in advance.
Absolutely. I think the greatest thing that, you know, in the beginning when I first started my career was only paper calendars, but now with Blackberries and Outlook and computers that you can sync your calendar, they can always check what's going on. My husband, who also has a BlackBerry and Outlook, we actually let each other know through the BlackBerries when something gets scheduled. So we always know what's on the schedule. So when we're trying to plan things, we could actually have everything at our fingertips to make sure it's going to all work out so we don't end up being caught short with nobody remembering who's going to get the kids.
Right. Oh, that's exactly right. And it is so the advantage that we have with newer technology to be able to do that, or I know some people have Google calendars, or like you said, certainly with BlackBerries and those sorts of things to be able to sync things up. When you're coordinating at that level, it does make it so much easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it makes it the best of all worlds for your children, too.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, the less they can, if sometimes they don't even know, and that's a blessing. You don't want them to know that there's some stress or some planning or some things going on. They don't feel it at all. And at the same time, sometimes it probably doesn't hurt them to know that there is a little bit of juggling because they know that's part of life.
That you're it's nice for them to know that you're making the effort for them.
That's right.
You know, that they know that you work so that we can have, you know, the things that we have in our mm-hmm. life. They understand that you have to work to have money to buy things and to do things, so that's good. But they also know that our family is important because we make time for them and we do things for them. So, I think that probably the biggest challenge is, you know, if I do, once I get home and once we do homework, the rest of the day I'm working from home. And when I work from home, sometimes one of the kids will come over and ask me that they want to do something. You know, can you look at this? Can you do it that? And I think that earlier on, I used to tell them to wait a minute, let me finish what I was doing. And then when they got to be about four, they're only 1 year apart, when they were about 4 or 5 years old, I said, you know what? Whatever they're going to show me isn't going to take long. And I would stop whatever I was doing, as long as it wasn't a phone call. I would stop what I was doing, I would look. And sometimes it was like, Mommy, can you look at my basketball cards? And I looked at them, and it would take about 3 minutes. And then they were happy, and he went along his way. But he knew that he was important enough that I could stop what I was doing. And I felt better about it because I stopped, and he got to hear that, because then that moment's gone, that short moment. And I think that was, in the beginning, it was a challenge. But now that I have in my mind that they'll come first if they ask me for something, I'll do that. Now they're also older, so I can tell them, I'm going to be on a conference call right now, or I'm going to be on a phone call, so for the next half an hour, you can't come talk to me. And they're old enough to be able to do that, which is fine also. But just generally, if I'm just working on the computer or something, I'll stop for them. And I think that makes all of us happy.
Exactly. I think they know that they're your priority, and you get to have that beautiful moment with them that's a short one and you can do quickly. But yet, letting them know that they are important. It made me giggle when you said that this morning. My daughter is 6 and a half, and she's just now getting into computers, and I think that changes things when they want to be on your computer.
Oh, on your computer.
On my computer. And she's been wanting to go to this particular website, and I do have to put her off a little bit because I have to be on there. And there's this little, she grabbed one of my index cards, and she's 6, so she's just learning to spell. And she wrote, Mom, I just found it when I sat down at my desk this morning. Mom, you owe me. O-H, you owe me. And it took me a second to figure out which, because I told her, I owe you 5 minutes on the computer. But they let you know, I think, sometimes, too. Mom, you owe
me.
So it does, and then you have to find other ways when they want, you know, they want your computer, they want your time. But you make that work, and I'm sure with boys who are 9 and 10, they find other ways that they need you, and then you have to rejuggle that.
Yeah, I'm lucky with my two that they really entertain each other because they're so close in age, and since they're both boys, they have common interests. So that's very good. But we definitely, my husband and I, have explained to them that there are times where we need to work, and they understand that. And usually, like I said, because they're in school and because we keep things pretty organized, it's not too much that they have to be disrupted, because I usually try to stop when they get home, but that doesn't always happen. Sometimes there's deadlines, sometimes there's things that have to be worked on, and they're old enough that we could explain that to them.
Right.
But they know that when we have other things planned, that it's all about them too, and we can give them that time. So I would think that probably the biggest lesson in all of this for me has been the planning part. I think the times that I haven't planned, it's been difficult. I haven't planned well enough. You know, that calendar and the planning is so, so important, because when you do have that conflict, it usually can't be, when you're juggling this many things, which is children, work, in my case, my own business, so I have to do things right, you know. And in addition to the children is school. When they get older, there's homework that has to be done, projects that have to be done. All of that stuff has to be planned as well. If you want your children to be the successful adults that you hope they're going to be, it doesn't happen without your input. So that adds another layer, because now it's just not, you know, finding time for them to play. It's finding serious time for them to help them with school so that they could learn the lessons that they need to learn, academic and social and everything else, and that becomes even more important. So needing to be organized, you know, not even just the calendar, but to have a workspace that's organized enough that if your child needs to come in, they can maybe have a spot to sit so that you're both working together, so that they understand. Mm-hmm. My one son went through a time he didn't like doing his homework by himself. He needed the company. I made a spot for him in my office where he can sit with his desk and his books. He does his homework beautifully.
That's
when
a great
he's
idea.
With me. Because I'm getting my work done, so I'm not feeling like I'm having to run back and forth and not being able to concentrate. And he's doing his work, but he's not by himself. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, it's always evolving. But it just takes you trying to be understanding and creative sometimes.
Exactly. It does. You have to get a little bit, think outside the box. Okay, how do we make this work? And it's always something new that, like you said, just comes up as they get older and the challenges are different and there's new things in school that, you know, me with kindergartners, I don't know what it's like to have a 10-year-old, and I know the pressures of homework and projects and science fairs and all of those things that they need to get done and they need some help with. It changes things, and you do have to be
creative. They also become more independent, though.
True.
So in kindergarten, they're much more dependent. So it all evens out.
Okay.
I can
breathe a sigh of relief there. Oh, my God.
You're ready for it when it happens. It's just like when they're infants and you can't imagine having to prepare lunch for school. And when
right.
you get there, it's not a big deal. You're ready for it as it happens. Now, I hear my friends who have children that are getting ready to go to college or they have teenagers learning to drive, and I shiver. It all works out, and I think it's all part. I think being a working parent, a working mother especially, and I have a lot of friends that are working mothers that do similar things to what I do, I think it's a very good example for children because they see that your family does not have to be sacrificed for work. They see that it's important to work. I mean, it's a good value. Mm-hmm. We have to all work if we want things in life. When they're complaining about school that I don't feel like doing everything, I said to my oldest son, well, what is it that you want for yourself in life? What do you picture for yourself? Mm-hmm. Do you want to live in a house? Do you want to have a family? Do you want to be able to buy things for yourself without having to struggle too much? And he says, yes. I said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be a professional baseball player, just like every other 10-year-old, right?
Yes, of course.
And I said, how do you get to be a professional baseball player? He said, well, you have to practice a lot. And I said, do you think professional baseball players have to go to school and work? And he said, yeah. And I said, how do you think they do both? And he said, I guess they have to sit down and work really hard at it. And so just to give them those lessons, just like I have to work hard at my job to do a good job for my clients, just like Daddy has to work hard at his job to do a good job for what he does. Your work right now is school.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't study in school when I was in fifth grade, I wouldn't be able to do what I was doing right now. And all of those things, because they see that we're not just saying it, but we really are working, because what do we all do for our jobs? We're preparing.
Mm-hmm.
We're studying. We're getting, just like how they're doing homework. And they see it all coming together. So I think it's a great example for them. And I think that the working women of today are different from the stereotype that we heard about in the 70s, where these women abandoned their children and, all the terrible things that you heard. I think that working women, if anything, we're more conscious of what we need to do for our children. Because we want to be more organized, we want them to be successful adults, we include them in what we're doing with our jobs. And if we do it the right way, our next generation of children could really be doing really well, because they've seen the best of all worlds. They've seen that we work, but we're still nurturing, and we still find time for them. But because of our careers, we could teach them different things that maybe, way back the stay-at-home mom of the 50s just couldn't teach them because they didn't have that working world experience that the women of the, of the new millennium have. So
I think that's exactly it. I think the pendulum has been swinging, and there was a time historically where it was just a challenge to get into that workforce or to get into the law firm, and there wasn't a history to figure out how to do both, how to do the family, how to do the work. There wasn't the flexibility. There wasn't the technology. And
that's
we owe such a debt of gratitude.
Right.
I think that's it. We learned so much, and we also learned, as many of us children watching our mothers or our grandmothers as they were pioneering through these things, we watched them and we thought, it's great now that they can work, and we're so grateful to have those opportunities, but we just weren't willing to give up the other side of our lives. And so how do we make that work?
Right. And the other thing is that when women started working in the 70s, there was no alternative. You were just in the office. If you chose to work, you were only in the office. No one wanted to hear about your child's school play
or
a doctor's appointment or anything like that. Now, because of computers and because we can work from home remotely with a computer and because we can work basically all hours because of computers and the internet and everything, there is that flexibility that just wasn't there before. And without it, you were making a choice. Either you worked or you didn't. Now you could have all of it because I can do things like do work at 10 o'clock at night after my children are sleeping, you know, which I, that opportunity wasn't there before. If I wasn't in the office, it wasn't getting done. So it is definitely better than it used to be as far as the flexibility.
And who knows what that technology will be. I told my daughter, we were talking about cell phones, and I said, you know, I can't even imagine, or we're talking about video cameras and how that works, because I have a little flip video that I carry in my purse, and I just have there whenever she's doing something at school or whatever. And I said, you know, when I was your age, we didn't even have video cameras. And I said, when you have kids, I can't even imagine. I mean, who knows? I can't even imagine what it'll be. I mean, it's already in your phone, and I don't even know what it's going to look like beyond that. I said, the technology just changes that fast. So it is amazing. When our kids are grown, who knows what, you know, you'll be able to, you can work from anywhere now. So I can't even fathom what that next level will be of flexibility when our children are in the workforce.
And for men, too. I mean, it's not just women. The men have
definitely
more flexibility. So now they're able to be more involved with their children's lives. And it's just so much better for the children.
It is.
You know, they have fathers that are around more, just because they're not locked in an office every day. You know, even if they are, you know, a lot of men now have the flexibility, if they come home from work early because there's a baseball game or whatever it is, they can catch up with it at work, you know, I mean at home, because of computers. So it's really a nice change, I think.
Oh, I completely agree. And I think women, because now that we've been in the workplace and we've been in the law firms in this case, asking for these changes and making these changes, now men, I think, are saying to themselves, wow, that makes a lot of sense. I want a life, too. I want to be able to see my children. That's important to me, too. So certainly men who are already in the law firms, but certainly men coming out of law school, they have a different paradigm about what their life and their law practice can look like as well. So I think there are big shifts happening for both women and men.
Absolutely. And I think that because women, you know, it's so different than it was in the 70s, because women are part of the workforce, you know, 50% of the workforce anyway, in a lot of areas, not necessarily just the legal world, because the legal world I don't think is 50% yet, at least not in litigation, not in what I do. But because of that, we're more comfortable with who we are. We're more comfortable. You're not hiding the fact that you're a mother and that you have this life outside of the office. It becomes part of who you are. And for me, when I do trials, you know, when I'm talking to the jury, I use all my life experience, including, you know, when I give an example when I do jury selection, about, you know, how you need to be fair and impartial is one of the things that we explain to a jury. We're trying to pick a fair and impartial jury. And my example that I always give, because I'm a mother, is that if you have two children, and one's your child and the other's the neighbor's friend, and you hear crying and you come into the room and what happens, and you said, well, this, you know, so Johnny broke the toy. Now, your son is not Johnny. Your son is Joey.
Right.
You could be fair and listen to both sides of the story when you say, okay, now tell me what happened. Tell me exactly what happened. But you really couldn't be impartial to Joey, who's your own child, because he's your child. You have a bias, a natural bias towards him. Now, in the old world, maybe I would never have wanted to bring up the example of the two children, because I would want to look like a strong businesswoman that had no emotion and, no, I don't have children and I have no family outside of my job.
Right.
But now, because, you know, it is more open, because we are able to talk about this, we can integrate that into our work, and I think it makes us better as attorneys, because a lot of being an attorney is being able to have compassion for your client, being able to be empathetic. And how else do you learn empathy better than from being a parent?
So
you know, you're always trying to see how does your child feel about something, or how does another child feel. You're always trying to be empathetic. You're always trying to be compassionate. And when you learn that from being a parent, you could be a better attorney for your clients, because a lot of times what they need is someone who's going to listen to them, just like your child needs to listen to you, or someone who's going to be able to be compassionate, just like your child needs that, or their friends. And I think that it actually helps you.
I think it certainly does. Those things that we learn as parents that, like you said, in a former life, so to speak, or as a as a woman 20, 30 years ago, we'd be almost denying the fact that we had any interest outside of our law practice because we did feel like we had to be strong and married, literally, to the practice.
Right.
Now it humanizes us, and we can admit the lessons that we're learning. I mean, and in litigation, being in front of, say, a jury, or being able to tell the stories and relate, and it just shows us to be a more well-rounded person. And like you said, we have so much to learn from our children and what we learn as parents that we can actually bring into our practice.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sandra, I'm wondering, as you know, to move from through the questions, and I think you've touched on them, but I want to make sure I'm not missing what you would say are your answers to these questions. Would you say that the planning has been one of your biggest lessons? You touched on that, or is there another big lesson or big teaching that you feel has helped you create the balance, find the place where you feel the most aligned between your work and your life? Is that planning that's so important, or is there something else?
I think the planning's important. I think you need to be able to know when you need to keep them separate. So, for example, you can't plan the big conference call from home with your children home. You know, that's something that should be done in the office. Or I keep my business life separate from my personal life completely. I don't, for example, if I had a client coming to my office, I wouldn't have my children there. I make sure that if it is anything that's going to require meeting a client or a phone call or anything like that, my children are not home and are not with me. And anything that I do at home is just work as far as computer work or writing, things like that. I think that's very important. I think it's very unprofessional when people are on a business call and you hear the children in the background or you hear washing dishes or anything like that. As women, it's always more difficult for us. We need to be taken seriously in the workplace and in the courtroom as attorneys. And if you see, and it comes from everything, from the way that we dress to the way that we act, it presents an appearance to other attorneys. One of the things that I notice when I go to court, you'll see, you know, men attorneys are always dressed in suits, you know. But women, when we get to the summertime, they'll go to court in a sundress. You know,
yeah.
You know, not dressed the same way that the men would dress. Well, that could be fine for some women, except for that woman is right away not looked the same way as that man who's dressed up in a business suit, even if it's 90 degrees out. Well, the same thing goes with our phone calls and our communications with our client. If we're on the phone with our client and all the client hears is that we're washing the dishes or the dog is barking or we have the children in the background, well, how much does that client feel that we're paying attention to them? You know, are they maybe going to go to an attorney that it sounds like they're really in an office, that they're really paying attention to what we're doing or what their particular problem is? And I think for that reason, it's very important. I would say the most important thing is to know where to draw that line and to make sure that your clients still feel they're getting the professional service that they want to get. That's why they're coming to you. And if you want to have time with your children, that should be at a separate time, and that's where the planning comes in. You need to be able to plan when you're going to do those things. So for me, and this isn't what everybody needs to do, but for me, that planning is that I don't do phone calls or meet with clients or anything with my children around. That is all completely separate, and I keep my personal life completely separate from my business life. And the things that I want to plan, if I know that I have something with my children, I'm not planning a conference call during that time, and that's where planning comes in. It's not that I just say, okay, I'll take a call at any time, or I'll meet with a client any time. I have my calendar, and I know when I can meet with them without interruption in my office, not at my house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is very important. And I think that women attorneys should know that, because I think when you blur those lines, it just I think your clients look at you differently. And if you want to be successful and if you want to build your practice, you don't want someone going to say, you know what, she's always so busy, because it always sounds like she's doing something else
mm-hmm.
when she's talking to me. Maybe I'll go to a different attorney.
Right.
Every client needs to feel like you're their most important client.
Exactly. There's that level of professionalism that we always want to maintain. And
right.
both as just an appearance, not in a disingenuous way, but that our client truly is our focus, but that to be taken seriously, as you said, both in the courtroom, by our clients, by other attorneys, but also, as I'm sure you've seen as well, as much as we love to multitask as women, there's a lot of studies coming out that say that we actually reduce our efficiency and reduce our ability to do things well when we're multitasking. So if we are doing dishes or, you know, tending children, we can't really do as good a job for our clients as if we weren't doing that. So we're actually doing them a disservice, which is, I think, outside of integrity as well, when we're billing clients and yet not giving them fully 100%. Of our time. Yeah.
Right. Which is why scheduling, you know, it's more than making the list of what you want to get done for the day. It's making sure that you're organized enough to give people the attention that they deserve.
That's right. Exactly. Sandra, I'm wondering if just as we're sort of wrapping up, but rooted in those lessons and in what you've mentioned, or maybe completely distinct, if there are a couple or three strategies or maybe more tactical things that you have found to be really helpful. You mentioned your BlackBerry and some technological tools. Or are there just ways of doing things that you discovered that maybe were very helpful to you and your family in creating some balance?
I would think not just, I think that it's basically the same things I've been saying, except for it's more action than words. As far as it takes a concerted effort to have a plan for yourself. What we do in my firm is we have a master list of things that need to be done, and that gets broken down into a daily list, which actually gets checked off. And again, this can be computerized, it could be on paper, whatever people are more comfortable with, but I think everybody needs to be part of that. In my office, it includes my partner and I, but it also includes the support staff. Not that they don't need to know everything I'm doing personally, but they do need to know when I'm available and when I'm not available. And I think that the tips for people is that they have to have a weekly and daily plan in order for it to work efficiently. And you need, I would say the first step for everyone is if you're working in an office, that's a disaster. You can't find anything. You have piles of paper everywhere. I think the first thing that you have to do is regroup and get organized. Once you're organized, then you can start making your plan. And once you make your plan, you'll find you're so much more efficient that you're getting a lot more within that same block of time. Because when you come back into the mess, the disorganized mess, you don't know where to begin. You kind of look at it. And you say, okay, I don't even know where to start. I have too much to do. You put the head in the hands. And next thing you know, 2 hours went by, and now it's time to go do that other thing that you were supposed to do. If you first start off by being organized and have a plan for yourself on how you're going to stay organized, everything will go much more smoothly, including your personal and your business life, because you'll always know what's going on, and it won't be a surprise, and it won't be a nightmare hanging over your head because you forgot about this and that.
Exactly.
And that's very important.
Yeah, that creates so much of the stress, and the imbalance is that lack of planning sometimes.
Right. The stress gets unbelievably reduced. I mean, you might have to take a week getting completely organized, but you'll make up for that time because you're organized.
That's right. The amount of time we waste finding things that are lost or figuring out what to do next. That
or missing deadlines or forgetting to do things or, you know, that's very stressful.
Oh, very stressful, and with the kids, too. That adds a whole other layer. Well, Sandra, I appreciate the time today so much. I want to, before we finish up, give you a chance to let people know how to connect with you, maybe a website for your law firm or anything you're working on. Could you please share that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'm an attorney in general practice. You mentioned the areas that I practice in. We have a website, which is www.rallaw.com, and there's information on their website. It shows recent newspaper articles that we've been in, as well as a TV show that we were on talking about custody cases, for anybody who's interested in that. And basically what we like our clients to know is that we try to make them feel like they are the most important one, just like I was saying, that we try to give them attention and let them know what's going on with their case at all times. So anybody who's interested in talking to us, we'd love to hear from them.
Excellent. Well, thank you again, Sandra, for being here today. I really appreciate all of your time and all the wisdom that you've offered.
Thank you, Kendra.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, I'd like to close out this conversation. I appreciate you being here, whether you're listening or reading these words. I appreciate the time you're investing in yourself, and I applaud you for taking that time to learn a bit more and to learn from folks like Sandra today and all the information that she has offered. So I applaud you investing in yourself in that way. And until next time, this is Kendra Brodine, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com, wishing you real success always and in all ways. Bye-bye.